It's like nothing you're coming up against is too powerful or too strong for him. He can overcome everything. And I'm so thankful. We've been in the message series on the Holy Spirit for several weeks now, and we're going to kind of wrap everything up today. And I love this because, again, we're going to be having baptisms in this second service. And we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. He came to live in us and dwell in us. And yet it seems like there are a lot of times in our lives, man, we walk through things and they're not easy to walk through. There are things that you're going to walk through in your life that maybe other people don't understand, and there are things that you're going to walk through in your life that you're going to need the power of God working in your life. I would like for you to turn with me to Luke, the 8th chapter, and this is a very familiar story, and I'm going to jump right into it today. It's a very familiar story. Even if you're not from church, you might have heard this story at some point or another, and I'm going to read this passage. This story is also found in Mark, the 5th chapter, and in Mark, the 5th chapter, there are a couple of details. The Bible actually tells us that Jesus has been spoken to by a man by the name of Jairus, and Jairus says that my daughter is sick. Will you come to my house? I know that you can heal my daughter, and so will you come to my house? And Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house when this story takes place right in the middle of it. It almost seems like it's somebody else's story, and then this takes place. Luke, the 8th chapter. And there was a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had a disorder, and consequently, she was very sick and in pain most of her life. And she spent all that she had on doctors, but no one could heal her. She came up behind Jesus because there was a crowd around him. He's on his way to Jairus' house, and she comes up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. And immediately, her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. And they all denied it. Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. And in the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." When I was a young person, a kid, still at home, we'd play some games. And I don't know about you, but like we played games, and I came up in the Batman age. I'm talking the Batman age of, the TV show, the bam, kaplunk, with the Batmobile. Not all this crazy stuff that's on movies now. I'm talking like when Batman was still a real hero, and it was just awesome. He was super. And there was another guy by the name of Superman, and there were some other characters that had superpowers on that show. And then a lot of movies have been developed and around superpowers. When we were growing up, like when we would play this, like somebody would be Batman and then somebody would end up being one of the other characters. And we would, if you had a superpower, because we'd assign superpowers to people. If you had a superpower, what would your superpower be? I've had a lifetime and I've given a lot of thought to this. When I was in third grade, I remember this specifically because I kind of felt like I was a little bit on the outside, I didn't feel like I was one of the inside kids, and I wasn't picked very close to the top of the list when we were out on the playground and they were playing games. I didn't get picked because, I know I look like one athletic specimen here, but the truth is I wasn't that kind of kid, and kind of music was my deal, and so I didn't feel very validated. And so I remember one time when I was a little kid, third grade, I specifically remember that I prayed that I could have the superpower to fly, because if I could fly around the room, everyone would think I was cool. And that, ultimately, I'd give praise to God for it, but everybody would think I was really cool. And so I think maybe on some level there are still some days when I'd love to be able to fly. A few days ago, I had to drive to Altamont Springs. I had to go right during rush hour. And let me just tell you, if I could have a superpower to be able to fly, bring it, Jesus, you know? If you're not laughing, you don't have to drive I-4, obviously. It's just torturous. I've thought about this for a while. I've had a lifetime to think about this. There's some other superpowers I would love to have. I would love to have the superpower of being able to eat anything I wanted to and not gain weight. Can I hear an amen today? Like, I would love to be able to eat anything and it turned to lean muscle, you know? I'm like, where are the cookies? You know, a couple of years ago, because like I have to be careful and watch what I eat. And a couple of years ago, when Aaron LaFever and Tara Townsend were on staff, for some reason, everybody had walked out of the room and the conversation had been, it was a staff meeting and kind of the way things go in staff meeting. Everybody had walked out of the room and it was just the three of us in there. And I can't remember if it was Tara or Aaron, but they both kind of simultaneously asked me, are you decarbing? I'm like, why? And they're like, well, your disposition. Like, I don't know about you, but seriously, let me just say this. Carbs make me happy. I'm serious. Like, carbs make me happy. I can actually find some fulfillment in a cookie. Like, if somebody, you know, you go through some hardship or in life, or, you know, you get a breakup in a relationship or something like that. Seriously, I just eat a cookie and I'm like, can't even remember who that was. You know, and seriously, I know cookies and people say like sugar, like the white refined sugar. Honestly, do not be putting Splenda in my cookies. I want the real thing. I know I've read all the articles about, you know, how bad that is for you. And the whole time I've read those articles, the whole time I'm reading, I'm like, I bind that in the name of Jesus and then set it down like fake news, you know. yeah, amen. But seriously, there is a superpower that there are times when I've had, and there are sometimes when I wish I could have it more. The superpower would be the power to be invisible. Maybe there are times when something has completely intimidated me and I had to walk into a circumstance. Maybe there have been some people that I had to go around. Maybe there were people that have done some things towards me or to me. And maybe you're one of the people that you've practiced at being invisible. You actually have the ability to walk into a room and rather than face rejection and rather than face the difficulty of a circumstance, you have the ability to carry yourself in such a way that no one in the room sees you. That you're in such a low profile that you just don't want to draw any attention to yourself because of maybe previous hurts that you've had or a hurt that you're afraid they could inflict on you, and down inside of you is hurt and shame. And it seems like maybe when the people around you look at you, you wish they couldn't see you because you know that when they look at you, you are afraid that they can see all of your hurts and all of your failures and all of your fear, so you just become invisible. You don't want anybody to know how badly you're hurting. You don't want anybody to know what you're walking through in your life. And you're so unsure of yourself in that circumstance, so insecure about where you are and what you're going into, that you just make yourself invisible. And you begin to compensate in life for something that has wounded you or hurt you or a circumstance that seems too big for you. And you just learn to live your life invisible. Years ago, I had a car accident, and after I had the car accident, a few weeks later, I got some horrific pain in my back, and I went to the doctors, and it really didn't help very much at all, and after I went to the doctors, I started to learn to live with the pain. I started to kind of walk a little bit sideways, and I had a little bit of a limp, and I started to compensate for the pain that I was in. And there are a lot of people that are just like that. You start to compensate. You use muscles that you shouldn't have had. You contort yourself. You move yourself in such a way because there's a pain down inside of you. And so consequently, you live your life in such a way that you compensate for the pain that you've had. And it's caused stress on your life. It's caused stress on not just on your physical body, but on your emotional being. And you're still working, you're still living, you're still paying your bills, you're still driving a car, you're still getting on I-4, but you do everything that you can not to pay attention or tap into that hurt. So you don't talk about it. You live as though it's not there, and yet the whole time it seems like it feeds who you are. You draw on that constantly. So you don't draw attention to yourself, and you don't want anybody to even look at you or hardly talk to you because of the rejection or the pain or the failure that you've had. It hurts too much. It hurts too much to face the fact that our parents maybe were not great parents, that you grew up in a marriage that was not a good marriage with your mother and father. Maybe your dad abandoned you, or maybe your mother was abusive, and maybe somebody when you were younger touched you inappropriately, and maybe someone introduced you to porn or somebody introduced you to drugs, and now since then you've lived a lifetime of addiction or a lifetime of brokenness. Somebody broke something down inside of you, and it's still down inside of you, and it's compounded by bad decisions, and you're saying to yourself, I just can't bear to have anybody look at me. I can't hardly bear to look at myself, because when I look at myself, all I see is the hurt. All I see is the pain. All I see is the failure of my life and the decisions in my life. So I've stopped looking at myself. I've stopped looking for beauty. I've stopped looking for hope. I've stopped looking for a future. I just want to be invisible. And we learn to be invisible. Did you know that there's actually one of the fabulous four superheroes is a woman, and she's invisible. Her superpower is one of the Fantastic Four. Her real name is Sue Storm Richards. She was formerly the Invisible Girl, and now she's the Invisible Woman. You know how she got her superpowers? She went through a cosmic storm. And after the cosmic storm, she found the ability to be invisible. And now she projects a force field, an energy around her that makes her completely invisible. Anytime that she feels like she's being threatened, she makes herself completely invisible. And that's not too unlike us. We all have walls. We all have places in our hearts where we've been hurt. We have places in our life where we feel completely vulnerable, where we've walked through a storm, and we've learned to build walls around our heart, and those walls are there to somehow make us invisible. In this passage we just read in Luke, the 8th chapter a few moments ago, there was a woman who, the Bible says, suffered for 12 years. She was in pain for 12 years. She lived with physical pain, and she learned to compensate in her life. She learned to adjust. She got to the place where she didn't want people to notice her or see her, and there were some good reasons why she didn't want people to notice her or see her, is because in their culture, a woman who had this physical condition, the woman who had her issue, the woman who had her problem, she was not allowed to be around people. She was not allowed to touch them. If she touched them, they would be declared unclean and have to go through a cleansing process just because she touched them. If she sat on furniture, the furniture would have to be burned because of what was inside of her. They were afraid would get into even to the furniture. So she had this flow of blood, and even though it wasn't necessarily her fault or her failure, she learned to compensate for it because there was something toxic down inside of her. There was something that was crippling her life and crippling her emotions, and so she just simply lived being invisible. One has to understand that the people who learn to live invisibly they're much like her. She carried a psychological hurt. She carried a physical hurt. She carried a spiritual weariness, a weariness that had social implications and relational implications to her. And it was unyielding because her bleeding was unyielding. And yet, though she's weary and though it seems like she's going to be in this condition for her life, she hears of something that's taking place. She hears of something that's transpiring, and she finds herself in a crowd. She makes her way, and she does something that she normally doesn't do, or maybe if she's done it, she goes out into the community. But the last thing that she wants to do is she does not want to bring attention to herself. Because if she brings attention to herself, every person that she's touching would be declared unclean. The entire environment would be considered to be unclean. So the very community that she's stepping out into, even the disciples that Jesus had called, she goes near them, but no one is looking for her. No one's looking for her because she's hiding herself. The community doesn't seem to notice, and they don't embrace her existence. And this woman who is, according to them, unclean, is pressing right against them. If they had any idea the hurt or the wound that was down inside of her, maybe their response would have been different. It might have been good, it might have been bad, but she could not dare to take the risk or take the chance on that. So she just made herself invisible. For 12 years, she had practiced being invisible, but now she's living in pain, and the pain is driving her to do something that is unthinkable. She goes out because she hears that maybe something in her life could change, and her pain makes her desperate. And in Mark, the fifth chapter, it says that she says, if I could just get to him, quite possibly if I could touch him, it would make a difference in my life. And here's what it says in Luke, the eighth chapter. She came from behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She came from behind him. If I could just touch his robe, it's such a risky thing. It's a risky decision for her to take this on. To wake up in the morning and go, I'm going to go out where I potentially could be completely rejected. And she passes the people who really should be reaching out to her and looking for her. But she passes all of those people. But what choice does she have because she's broken? What choice does she have because she doesn't have any other hope except to step out and do something about this? And there's this crowd around her. And they're pressing in front of her. Everybody's in front of her. Have you ever felt like everybody's in front of you? Have you ever felt like everybody got the advantages? Like you didn't come from a wealthy family and you didn't get the grants and you didn't get the advantage. Maybe you didn't get the talent somebody else had. And consequently, when everybody else got picked, you were at the back of the line. There's something that takes place when you live a lifetime of that, because I'm a football fan, and one thing that I know about in sports is that when you get behind in the game, there's something demoralizing about being behind in the game. That it's hard to catch up once you've been behind for so long. And so... It takes a lot of energy, it takes a lot of daring, and sometimes it takes a lot of risk that once you're behind in the game. And for those of us maybe who we've had something take place in our life where we've compounded it by bad decisions, we learn to live in hiding, and it feels like there are so many people who are in front of us that we'll never get to the life that we feel like we should have, that we'll never find the hope that we're supposed to have. And the last thing that we want to do is we don't want to draw attention to ourselves. We just don't simply want to be seen. And so this woman had to come from behind. How many of you in this room today, you could identify that, man, I've been so disadvantaged in my life. I've felt like so many times over and over and over again, I wasn't young enough. I wasn't pretty enough. I wasn't smart enough. Everybody else had the advantage. Somebody else had the friend and they got the job. And yet somewhere in my life, I feel like I've lived outside of the crowd. And with all that rejection, I made myself invisible. And then if you're going to ever obtain anything, you're going to have to come from behind. And this woman, she comes from behind. She's done other things, like she's done other things. Here it says that she spent all that she had to find other help. She went to other physicians. She went to other sources. What have you tried? Honestly, what have you done in your life to get healed? There are some people that go to mystics. There are some people that look at horoscopes. They look at crystals. They self-medicate. They get involved in relationship after relationship, marriage after marriage. They start a business and burn a business down. They do another business and burn it down. They go from church to church to church looking for somebody to help them. Here it says that even well-meaning people, physicians, they could not help her. And eventually they even had to say to her, there's nothing that could be done to help you. You're just not right. You're going to have to learn to live in the rejection. You're going to have to learn to live in the pain. You're going to have to learn to live in the isolation. You're going to have to learn to live in this brokenness. And so do you know what takes place? We learn to settle. We learn to settle that this is all life is. That this is all it's ever going to be for us. And we acquiesce and say, like, maybe I didn't want that after all. I just don't want it anymore for sure. I'm too old to get it. I'm too old to fight. I don't have any fight inside of me. I'm too old to go back to school. I'm too old to start that business. I'm too old to write a book. My opportunity has passed me by. I've allowed all the disappointments and all the hurts. I've tried that, and I've tried that, and I've tried that, and I've tried that, and none of that worked. And so now here I am, and I've just learned to live with where I am. But somewhere in here, she had still one hope left. She was like, if I could just put my finger on his robe, I know that quite possibly my life could change forever. And she was like, I don't mind if I have to come from behind. I know that the pain where I am is not where I want to live. So I'm going to make a decision that I'm going to get some kind of help. I'm going to get some kind of hope, even if it costs me everything. And at that moment, she reaches out and touches him. And when she reaches out and touches him, Jesus stops and he says, who touched me? Who touched me? And the disciples, after a moment of pause, they were like, what do you mean who touched you? There's a crowd around you. And Jesus was like, who touched me? And no one volunteers. No one speaks up that it was me. She hides. She's lived her life hiding. And even when she was able to touch what she was seeking, then she immediately went back into hiding. There's issues in our life that cause us to stay in hiding. But here's the awesome thing about this is she didn't want to be seen, but Jesus knew right where she was. She didn't want to be seen, but Jesus saw her. He saw her pain. He saw her brokenness. He saw the life that she lived. He saw the decisions that she made. And at that moment, he brought hope to her because he saw not just all that brokenness, but he saw who he created her to be. He saw that she could be different. He saw that she could be whole. He saw that there was something, a purpose down inside of her, a life down inside of her. And when she came from behind, she had enough faith. And Jesus says, who touched me? She was determined at that point, even if she was invisible, she needed to be healed. And the interesting thing, as far as I'm concerned, is she came to Jesus to stop the pain, thinking that as soon as the pain would stop, if Jesus would heal her, then she could just go back to her invisible life. But I don't know if you understand this or not, but when you really come in contact with Jesus, when you come in contact with his power and his spirit, even if you've been hurt for your entire life, at that moment, he knows where you are and he knows what your reality should be. And when you really touch Jesus, your reality at that moment changes forever. You can't go back to who you used to be. You can't go back to being invisible. Now all of a sudden the possibilities are broader. Now all of a sudden the possibilities become greater. You live on a greater playing field because now you've touched Jesus and your life has changed forever. You can't go back to those circumstances. You can't go back to the habits. You can't go back to those same friends. You can't go back to that situation. You can't go back to the mindset that you were coming out of. The thing that made you hurt, the thing that caused you to be invisible. You can't go back and live comfortably with that anymore. Because now Jesus has changed, not just changed the moment, but he's changed your life and he's changed your perspective. And for those of us, you understand today what I'm talking about. Like, now I've stepped into a large place. I have a new perspective. I'm not going to deny that I have possibilities. I'm not going to deny that Jesus has touched me and that he's changed me. He's not seen me as an outsider. He's seen me as somebody that he loves. He doesn't think I'm invisible. You've known me as somebody who's hurt and somebody who's broken and somebody who's messed up and somebody that made bad decisions. You've known me as an adulterer and a cheat and a liar. You've known me as somebody from the other side of the tracks. You've known me as somebody who's lived their life down the wrong path. But up to this point, that's who I was. But somebody touched me. Jesus touched me when I touched him. And my life has changed and I won't ever be the same. It redefines who you are. When you come in contact with Jesus, when you come in contact with the power that he promised us, that he would come and dwell in us and live in us, that he can change us forever. When you come in contact with that, you need to go back home and you need to say to friends, let me introduce myself to you. I used to be that, but now I'm this. I used to be a liar, but I'm not a liar anymore. I used to be a person without hope, but I'm not without hope anymore. I used to be broken, but I'm not broken anymore. I have absolutely new possibilities. I've been hiding too long. I've been invisible too long. And I can't keep quiet. For some reason, this woman stood out to Jesus. And he sees her. Who touched me? And somebody says, like, what do you mean who touched you? And he says, I perceive that power came out of me. I perceive that there was a transfer of power. Today, there are people in this room that you really do need a transfer of power. Like, you know that, like, something down inside of you really needs. It's not just a new habit and a new made-up mind and a new decision. You need a power that's greater than you that can change your life forever. And maybe even you've tried church and you've joined church and you've done all of the things, but there's something that God wants to do down inside of you. And it's beyond religious practice. He knows where you are. He knows what you've walked through. He knows the hurts that you have, and you can't stay hidden anymore. Verse number 47 says this: she recognized that she couldn't go unnoticed. Nah. She was invisible to everybody else, but she was not invisible to Jesus. She might have been hidden to other people, but she was not hidden to God. Her hurt might have been hidden to other people, but it wasn't hidden to God. And the awesome thing about that is he wanted to have contact with her, not to expose her and not to make her feel guilty and not to shame her and bring her to scorn. She already had enough of that. He wanted to have contact with her so she'd step into the new life that he had for her. So at that moment, she was bold to reach out. There are some people maybe that have told you in your life, this is all you are. This is all you're going to be. Maybe it's the conversation you've had with yourself. This is all I am, and this is all I'm going to be. I've pursued other things, and you've pursued things to fill that place. You've gone after other physicians to heal you. You've got involved in toxic relationships. You've got involved in addiction. You've spent everything that you've had, and it's completely consumed you, and there's nothing left. And the only hope that you have, honestly, is for Christ to come and touch you and heal you on the inside. So today, I want you to know that you can have new life in Christ. And here's what he says to her: your faith has healed you. The King James Version says your faith has made you whole. The original word there doesn't mean that you're your body was just healed. It actually means that your world has been healed. Like the total you has been healed. And so today, I don't know what you've walked through. I don't know what you've been hurt by. I don't know maybe what in your life you've hidden and the things that you've caused to be pushed down on the inside and you hope they're invisible. Today, I don't know, maybe it's in your marriage, maybe it's in your finances, maybe it's in a relationship, maybe it's in something that's just fundamentally broken down inside of you. But let me just tell you, if you'll just reach out to Jesus, if you'll give it to him, if you'll say, like, I can't handle this anymore, but I know that you can. I know that you have power to do this. Then speak the name of Jesus over your marriage. Speak the name of Jesus into your finances. Speak the name of Jesus into your children. Speak the name of Jesus over your relationships. Call restoration to come back to your heart. Come that you're going to walk in wholeness and not in brokenness any longer. That the things that have happened to you don't define you who you are. And she rises out of this condition. And as she rises out of this condition, the Bible actually says that she's trembling as she approaches Jesus. Faith has made her whole. I'm going to read one passage and then I'm going to close with some prayer here, but we're not done. So just stick with me for the next few minutes. I want you to turn with me 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter and the 9th verse. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter says this, but you are a chosen people. You're chosen. He chose you. He elected you. He selected you in spite of your decisions, in spite of what you've done, in spite of where you've been, in spite of what's happened to you. He chose you. I talked about this last week that you're peculiar people, one translation says. You're peculiar that you've walked through all that stuff and you can come out on the other side, not broken. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out, who saw you. Who saw you in your brokenness, who saw you in your pain, who saw you in the place where you were hoping that you were invisible, who were in darkness, and he called you out and saw you, called you out of darkness into wonderful, wonderful light. And verse number 10 says, once you were a people, once you were not a people, once you didn't own a land, once you had no possessions, you had no place to belong, no one wanted you, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Today, I'm going to pray a couple of different prayers here today. The first one I want to pray is that maybe if you're in this place today and you've never reached out to God for salvation, I want to pray for you first. And so in these next few moments, maybe you've lived your life on your own and you just thought you were going to fix yourself on your own and you've just never surrendered to God. Today, I want to pray for you. In these next few moments, every head bowed and every eye closed, will you do that, please? If you're ready to surrender to him and say, okay, your way, not my way, your life, not my life. I've tried it my way and it's just not working, and so I'm surrendering today. Every person in this room, I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer and repeat this prayer after me. And as you do this, I believe that there's an exchange, a fundamental exchange. You're going to exchange your death, your sin for the life of Christ. And so, will you repeat after me? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus, your Son, who gave his life for me, who laid down his life so that I could have a life and have it eternally. So today, I receive Jesus as my Savior. Holy Spirit, come into my heart and do what I cannot do for myself. Save me. And from this day forward, I'll follow you. every head bowed and every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer today and needed to pray that prayer, I'm going to ask you in these next few moments to raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you in the days ahead. This is your moment. This is you just saying, okay, it's it. Like, God, I need you. And so I just prayed that prayer and I received Christ. Could I see your hand right now? I see it. Yes. I see it. The Lord sees it. Yes. I see it. The Lord sees it. Yes. There are hands all over this room today. Yes. 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 Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your power. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for changing our lives today. If you just prayed that prayer today, listen, just for the people that just prayed that prayer today, I want you to look up at me if you just prayed that prayer. Everybody else, if you'll just keep your eyes closed for just a moment. If you just prayed that prayer today, there's a card in the seat in front of you. And seriously, this card doesn't have anything to do with saving you. You just got saved. Your life's been changed forever. This card is about us helping you live this life that God called you to. Will you reach up there and just take that card, that decision card, and fill it out? Just put your name on it, and we want to help you get started on your journey. Will you let them know they made the best decision of their life? Amen. I'm going to pray just a little bit further. I'd like everyone to stand in this room, if you would, please. I'm going to invite some prayer partners to come down here. If we could have our prayer partners that would come. And there are some of you today that you've been walking in pain. If I could have our prayer partners to come, please. You've been walking in pain and you've been walking in heartache. But the Lord has power to change you. He knows right where you are. He knows what you've walked through. And today's the day. Today's the day to allow Him to pour His Spirit down inside of you and bring a change. It's not denial of anything that's happened. It's not denial of a past, but it's the hope of a brand new future. And so today, in these next few moments, if you would like to have somebody pray for you, and if we don't have enough prayer partners down here, we'll get more prayer partners down here. If you'd like to have somebody to pray for you in these next few moments, I'm going to ask you to step out of your seat and come down front here. And we're going to pray with you and we're going to sing as you step out of that place, press your way through the crowd to reach out and touch Jesus. Come on, step out of your seats if you'd like prayer today.